This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Why does God include the book of Daniel in our Bible? This book contains multiple prophecies and visions, and while some prophecies in Daniel have not yet been fulfilled, God's purpose for this book is not just to tell the future, but it's primarily a book of wisdom. Today, Pastor Sam Horn will begin a sermon titled, The Unseen War Around Us, from Daniel chapter 10. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
I'd like to ask you this morning to open your Bible to the 10th chapter of Daniel. We have been making our way with Daniel through this book, and we have had a wonderful guide to open up what we read there. And if you remember, way back at the beginning, we noted that Daniel was a book about wisdom. I, for years, thought Daniel and predominantly categorized it as a book about prophecy. And I've been taught that. I assumed that when I would read it. I would read it sort of trying to spot the prophecies and how are they going to unfold. And there's no question that there are prophecies in Daniel. We saw some of them as we made our way through Daniel chapter 9. And we saw some of them even in Daniel chapter 7. And so there's no question that in this book there are prophecies that God makes and that he reveals and that he gives to Daniel through inspired language. And now we have those prophecies, and many of those prophecies that were future in Daniel's day have actually come to pass. And so we have the ability now, standing where we are, to look back on what was future to Daniel is past to us. And we can see the accuracy and the veracity of God's word. And that just builds our confidence and it builds our faith. And so Daniel is certainly a book with prophecy. But we have come to understand something a little more unusual about the book. We have come to understand together as a congregation, as we've been listening in on Daniel's conversation with the Lord, on Daniel's conversation with his three friends, on his conversation with King Nebuchadnezzar, his confrontation with Belshazzar, as we've been listening to this man talk, we have come to understand that this book is predominantly a book of wisdom. And so if you like to write in your Bible, right above the title for the book, Daniel, you may want to write a little note to yourself and say, this is wisdom. And we're going to need the wisdom in our own life, just like Daniel needed it in his. We noted that the book had two kinds of wisdom. The first half of the book, chapters 1 through 7, were wisdom that God intended for the nations. There are four major nations that are going to interact with God's people. And they're all mentioned in the first half of the book. And so as God begins to talk to these nations that are going to interact very directly and sometimes in very oppressive ways, he has a wisdom for them. And so we listened in as Daniel shared this wisdom repeatedly with King Nebuchadnezzar. He shared it again with Belshazzar, his grandson. And we noted that he also shared it with Darius the Mede, who we came to conclude, or at least in my opinion, is also the same as Cyrus the Great. And so this wisdom that God has for the nations was delivered at the very highest levels. And we could sum that wisdom up in this way: God rules over the kingdom of men. And he puts whoever he wills over those kingdoms. You say, well, that's great for King Nebuchadnezzar, and that's pretty awesome when you think about what God did to prove that point to Belshazzar and how he made that really plain to Darius by rescuing Daniel from the law of the Medes and the Persians that not even Darius could deliver. So it's pretty awesome that God taught those kings that he rules the kingdoms of men. And the reason that you and I need that wisdom is because we have our own little kingdom. There is the kingdom of me. You have a kingdom, I have a kingdom, and we give God sometimes token allegiance in that kingdom. And if you asked, you know, if you caught us after church and you say, is God on the throne of your life? We'd all say what? Amen. But think about how we actually live our life. Think about how we respond to things that God brings into our life. Think about how we actually allocate the resources and time of our life. And if we're really honest, if we could do sort of an audit of our life, we might be surprised at who really is sitting on the throne of the kingdom of me. And the reason that we need the front half of Daniel is because we really need to come to grips with the very same thing Nebuchadnezzar had to come to grips with, and that is that there is a God in heaven, and he doesn't just reign in heaven, and he doesn't just reign over kings like Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and Darius. He really reigns over me. He reigns over the kingdom of me. And so that's the wisdom that God had for the nations. And then when we began chapter 8, we noted that there's a big shift in the book, and the book actually changes languages. This is one of the only books in the Bible that is actually inspired in two different languages. And so when we get to the front half of the book, it's inspired in Aramaic, which would be sort of like the lingua franca of the day in the ancient world. But when we come to the second half of the book, the language changes. And this is something that God inspired. God actually inspired the second half of the book in a different language than the first half. And we noted that that language was the language of God's people. It was Hebrew. Because God had a hidden wisdom, a special wisdom for them. And it's like God brings Daniel close at the end of his life. When we get to this last half of the book, Daniel is probably in his 85th year of life. He has been in Babylon his entire adult life. And God brings him in and he says, Daniel, I'm going to give you wisdom about Israel. I'm going to bring you in to my plans and my purposes and my promises to my people and how they're going to be unfolded. And when Daniel gets that wisdom, surprisingly, it is not remotely anything like what he anticipated. And when we get to chapter 10, we are in the final vision. God gives him all of that wisdom in four visions, and these visions sort of progressively uncover that wisdom for him. He gets the big picture in the vision in chapter 7, and then he gets another piece of it in chapter 8. He gets another piece in chapter 9, and then in chapters 11 through 12, he gets the main piece of it, and by the time he gets it all together and he understands what God is actually up to, it overwhelms him. Have you ever been overwhelmed? You say, well, how do you know he's overwhelmed? Because of what we read about in chapter 10. In chapter 10, we find this faithful servant of God discouraged. He is absolutely disheartened. He is so weak he can't even stand. He is so filled with fear that the angel of God has to say to him what the angel of God said to Joshua back in Joshua chapter 1, fear not and be of good courage. And you don't say that to someone who's full of courage. And so here is the man of God that we have been watching and we have been listening to. I mean, we have gotten up close and we've seen the inner workings of Daniel's life. We've seen the inner workings of Daniel's heart. And if there were ever a hero in our Bibles, it would be Daniel, wouldn't it? And here at the end of his life, after all of that faithfulness, after all of that ministry, after all that he has done, we find him at the end of his life and he's so weak and he's so discouraged. And he's so disheartened, he can hardly stand. And I think there are times in our life when the purposes and plans of God that he shows to us and the things that are involved in the accomplishing of that plan and the way those things impact our personal lives may land us in a spot right next to Daniel where we are confused and we are disheartened and our faith is being tested. And our faithfulness is being tried, and our soul is being exhausted by what we see and what we've come to understand. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 7 days. You don't know what's going to happen in the next month. You don't know what's going to happen in the next year. You don't know what's going to happen to your wife. You don't know what's going to happen to your husband. You have no clue what's going to happen to your kids. You have no idea what the future holds in terms of your career, your employment. You have no understanding of what might happen in our country, in the political environment in which you might be called to live. But there is one thing we do know. There is a God in heaven, and he rules over all of that. And he has a kingdom that is coming. And if you want to sum up the wisdom that God gave to Daniel, it is this: my kingdom matters more. It matters more than your kingdom. It matters more than Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. It matters more than Belshazzar's. It matters more than Darius. It matters more than all the kingdoms of the world. And there is coming a day in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, where all of the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of the Son. That's where all of this is headed. But between Daniel's day and now our day, and that day when the kingdoms of the world become the kingdom of the Son, we need Daniel chapter 10. Because God puts in here a wisdom for Daniel and for us that will lead us to five stunning realities that, if we will embrace them, will strengthen us for the day of battle. They will stable us in the fierceness of life, and they will encourage us when our souls are weary and our strength is gone. So what do we find in this chapter? I admit that this section of Daniel is probably one of the hardest sections in the Old Testament. We noted that we hit the actual hardest paragraph in the entire Old Testament last Sunday when we were looking at chapter 9 together. And so I have had to wrestle with these chapters, and you're wrestling with them in your own mind. And I want to commend you as a congregation for the hard work that you do each week and the labor that you invest as a congregation in the Word. We don't grow apart from the Word, and that's why there is a philosophy of preaching and teaching here that is Word-centered. And we don't skip the hard parts of Scripture. We don't skate over the hard parts of Scripture. We want to do the heavy work. And so as I was working through Daniel chapter 10, I was reading and studying, and I came across a little work by a gentleman, a theologian named Dale Ralph Davis. And he had some things to say in his comments on this that were stunning. And so some of the outline this morning is adapted from him. And I want you to know that. There's an integrity in making sure that you understand that when people like me and anybody else who stands up here and speaks the word to you, we are speaking the word clearly and plainly, and we are giving appropriate credit to those who have ministered that word to us ourselves. So what are these five realities that God has placed in this text that will strengthen us in the day of battle? What is it that he has put here that will stabilize us when the ground beneath our feet shakes? What is it that he has put here that will encourage us and help us to continue believing when everything around us challenges that belief? And I think there are five things. The first thing that we see here is in verse 1 of the text. And I could sum it up this way: as we think about this unseen war that we're about to find out about, the first thing that I think is in the text is this. We could say it this way: faithfulness is more difficult than we ever imagined. Faithfulness is more difficult than we ever imagined. Listen to the text. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. We haven't heard that name since Daniel 1. I mean, all through the rest of the book, Daniel has, or 1 and 2 rather, all through the rest of the book, Daniel has been Daniel. We've been referencing him by his Hebrew name, which means God is my judge, or God is my champion, God is my deliverer. But all of a sudden, we're reintroduced to this name. And I think the reason for that is that God wants us to connect what we're about to read and understand all the way back to the dream that God gave Nebuchadnezzar. And what we're going to discover in Daniel's long life in this pagan place is that faithfulness is more difficult than we imagine. And here's what's counterintuitive. We would think that the longer you are faithful, the more easy faithfulness becomes. And it's actually the opposite. It's actually the opposite. Daniel receives a word, an unexpected word about an unanticipated circumstance, and when he understands the word, he finds himself theologically confused. He doesn't understand what is happening here. He's spiritually grieved over what has happened to his people, and he's just spiritually exhausted. And you and I find ourselves in that way. So what was it about this word that made faithfulness difficult for Daniel? And it's the same thing in our life. The same thing that made faithfulness difficult for Daniel is what makes faithfulness difficult for us. Daniel found faithfulness difficult because of unanticipated opposition toward God's people in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. That's a really important date. We noted that these visions that Daniel receives in the book are dated. He gets one in the first year of Belshazzar. He gets another in the third year of Belshazzar. Last week, we looked at chapter 9. It was the first year of Darius, Cyrus. And now, 2 years later, he gets the final vision, which goes all the way through chapter 12. And in this introductory section of that vision, it's dated for us. We know that it happened in the third year of Cyrus. Now, why is that so important? Well, you may want to write next to verse 1 in chapter 10 this reference, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 22 through 23. And that's your homework this week. I want you to go home and I want you to read that text in light of verse 1 of chapter 10. That text comes at the end of the second book of Chronicles, and it tells the story of what happened when Cyrus was king. God moved in his heart, and Cyrus issued a decree that allowed Zerubbabel and a whole group of Israelites who were in Babylon to return to the land to rebuild their temple and to reestablish the worship of Yahweh. And he didn't just give them permission, he gave them protection. And he didn't just give them protection, he gave them resources to do it. It was a glorious moment. Daniel had waited for this moment his entire life. If you go back to the end of chapter 1, we are told that he remained until the first year of Cyrus. That was an amazing moment because when the first year of Cyrus finally arrived, some 60 plus years later, at the very end of Daniel's life, the thing Daniel was waiting for happened. And Cyrus issues this phenomenal decree, moved by the hand of God. And all of these people, under the leadership of Zerubbabel, go back to Jerusalem to build the temple. Well, they get back, and what they discover is that the land has been filled up with the people. And when they come back to start rebuilding the temple, there is this fierce opposition. And it brings everything to a grinding halt. And all of this comes back to Daniel. And he is confused. How could this happen? How could this be true? I mean, God, you moved in Cyrus's heart. You did something that only you could do. You moved in his heart, not just to let the people go. This isn't a Pharaoh reluctantly letting the people go and the people having to plunder Egypt to get the stuff they need. This is you moving in the heart of your servant Cyrus, just like Isaiah predicted hundreds of years ago. God, you're doing this. It's amazing. And then all of a sudden, there's opposition. And it stunned Daniel. Faithfulness is harder than we think, because when we set about to do something for God, there is always opposition. Always. It was hard because of unmet expectation. Daniel says the word was true, and it was about a great conflict. The word conflict in the text before us is the word for war. Daniel got a word, and the word was true. In other words, Daniel is assured that this word he's getting from God is actually accurate, it's true, it's reliable, this is what's going to happen. And Daniel, I'm giving you the big picture here. What is going to happen in the life of Israel is a great war. And by the way, the text we read this morning from the Apostle Paul tells us that the same thing is true about us. Why would we need to put on the armor of God if we were going to a recreation center? You know, we might need it if we were going to a battlefield, but why do we need it if we're going to hang out at a playground? We need this armor of God that Paul talked about because he tells us that we are called to live life in a war zone. And we're called to live life under fire. And the enemy that is coming against us is an unseen enemy. And just because you can't see it with your eyes, don't for a moment think that enemy is not real. Paul tells us there are principalities and powers and cosmic forces of evil in the heavenlies. There is a realm as real as the realm that you and I live in. Don't think of heaven as this place somewhere in outer space that's way out there and it's really not something we think a lot about because actually we live in this realm and when we die, we're going to head up there and then we're going to hang out there and we're not real sure what's up there except God and Jesus and angels and our grandmother or whoever else, you know, we think about up there. Oh, and there might be some clouds and a harp or two. And if you like harps, that's a great future for you. But if you're like me and you don't really, I mean, it's not like I don't like harps, but I'm not a harp guy. And so what am I going to do? Hang out there and like just hold it and just, you know. And that's how most believers think about heaven. I'm being sort of exaggerating here. You probably have a much more theologically robust view of heaven. But the scripture all the way through talks about a realm in which the throne of God is, in which all of the angelic beings that God created exist, and we are given little insights into that throne room from time to time. And one of the things we discover that shocks us is that there is presently a cosmic battle that is going on in that realm. You can kind of see the history of that battle, the long history of that battle, sort of summed up for you in Revelation chapter 12, beginning at verse 7, where you see actually this war described for you in very plain terms. And it is those forces of evil that have arrayed themselves against the forces of God, the forces of the kingdom of righteousness, that are engaged in this conflict. And this conflict in that realm spills out into this realm. And you and I experience it. Have you ever sensed opposition that you couldn't quite understand? You just felt like there was opposition. You just felt like there was something against you. And you were trying to figure it out. You were trying to understand it. You were trying to identify it. And you could almost get there, but you just couldn't get there. And I want to suggest to you that this is what Daniel experienced. And God said to Daniel, in the history of your people, there is going to be a great and extended and prolonged war. Daniel was expecting the opposite. He was expecting now that the captivity was over and people were going to go back to the land, that it would just be a short while. Messiah would show up and this glorious kingdom that God had told him about was about to happen.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker is Dr. Sam Horn. He's the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, come join one of our morning worship services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. every Sunday. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about today's message or about Palmetto Baptist Church, reach out to radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billieu. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.